numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It's happening in my voice. It's a numbers game right here at Circa. Sorry about that, guys.
It's a numbers game.
we have a move in the NFL.
We do. Daniel Jones to the Colts. And to answer your question that you had during the break, apparently Joe Flacco is still on the roster. So
Joe Flacco, Sam Ehlinger, and now Daniel Jones to compete with Anthony Richardson. Daniel Jones, Colt.
I mean, it makes sense if you're going to run, whatever offense you're going to run for Anthony Richardson. We saw Daniel Jones get used far more in the running game last year for the Giants. Not to say that's exactly what you should be doing with Daniel Jones, but at least you don't have to change the plays up a ton between the two.
Cut to a shot of Daniel Jones playing meaningful playoff potential contention games late in the season. Eduardo, we get tweets of being the book. H-Town 88. Texans with another O-line trade. Extreme culture change in that O-line room. Doesn't matter how much you get paid or where you were drafted. Green was a first-round pick. I think he's talking about Kenyon Green. Mm. Rich PSM. 100% agree with you, Gil, yesterday when you said this. I will never be used to Maryland in the Big Ten. Their ACC basketball history includes the 1974 Maryland-NC State ACC Championship. In my opinion, the greatest game ever. And Maryland was the greatest team to not make the field due to the ridiculous small field size. People forget. I'm a little too young for 74. But people don't understand. Like, growing up in the D.C. area in the 80s, college nothing was bigger than college basketball. We used to go over to like our friends' houses to watch Duke Carolina or if Maryland, like if Albert King and Buck Williams were playing Virginia.
Yeah.
Like it was such a big
Georgetown hoops.
And then the Big East, Georgetown. So it was the middle of Big East and ACC country. It was just unbelievable. And yeah, Maryland's in the Big Ten, and it blows our mind. James Sott, I compared that Coco Gauff match Drew was talking about to my non-tennis friends, so I was watching Titans-Browns with Billy Levi's at DTR at quarterback. It was so hard to watch. And then Justin D telling me, not sure about Circa, but DraftKings has the most April wins market up already.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I got work to do. I love that market. I don't see it anywhere in Vegas. I looked. No Circa, no William Hill. Nothing.
Man, this is... Yeah, they added... Wow, they added a lot. They added a lot. Start of season, race to 10 wins, 5-0 start.
Yeah.
A team last to lose. Let's see, there are April win totals.
That's what we're talking about here. Oh, April win totals.
Win totals, I believe, is what I'm looking at.
Oh, not most wins?
No, there's like groups of teams to hit 15, 20 games. 20 win. There's a ton of options.
A numbers game where we give out really long URLs and Kelly scrolls through DraftKings menu.
No, I was right. I finally got to. There are win totals for April for every team list.
Also, Sean Fox plays. The problem with Clutch Award in the NBA is there is prevailing thought that this will be a de facto second place MVP award, similar to what Most Outstanding Player just is in the NBA non-quarterback award. Jokic didn't win MVP, so maybe he'll be given Clutch. No defense, I think he says, and voters clueless. I'm trying to navigating through his tweet. Anyway, that's an interesting point, that clutch plays could be the Offensive Player Award equivalent of the NFL, Offensive Player of the Year Award, sort of depository. If you don't win MVP, here's your award.
Yeah, it could be a little bit. I mean, they usually hang on those clutch stats a fair amount, but if there's a tiebreaker, right, you could see it going that way.
Will Hill joins us. He's the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. That's his podcast, and he also is the stars of the Megapod. The March Madness edition will drop this coming Monday, where, of course, he famously called FAU to the Final Four a couple years back. And he's part of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive guest line, at not the, with two E's, at not the Will Hill. How you doing, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm great. The best betting week of the year. We are about an hour or so away from games starting. And once they start, they never end. I was up deep into the night, late night, watching them. So I love this week. The next like 10, 12 days is just nonstop basketball. You get a little breather. Then you get the NCAA tournament starting here. So it's so good. I'm a little jealous because I'm not in Vegas and you, Fez, Wishnev, you guys are hanging out. You're playing tennis. You're having sleepover parties. I wish I was there, but this is the best.
Sleepover? Really? I didn't get invited to sleepover. Do you see the thing with that? You know the Chappelle thing where like Chappelle did this bit where his friends were like, you didn't go to the Diddy freak-offs? He was like, no. And they were like, yeah, sure. And then he was like, and then it dawned on me. I'm ugly. I must be ugly. It's not quite the same thing, but anyway, triggered in my head. All right, Will, what golf course are you playing on today, by the way? That's a beautiful outfit. What are you doing? What's going on?
That's funny. That's funny. It's a good one. Look, I kind of rotate the V-sing gear. I want to throw a little collared shirt on and, I don't know, mix it up a little. By the way, breaking news, Jim Sorgi resigns with the Colts. Throw him in that quarterback competition with Daniel Jones and with boy, that's a group right there. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and whoever else they got.
Jeez. Scott Tolzien. Scott Tolzien is next. Okay, before we get to your bets here in college hoops with conference tournaments that have yet to start here and anything you might have in individual games tonight, because there's a bunch of games, with some of the conferences starting and others finishing and sort of semis as well in other conference tournaments. I was sitting with Parlay and Chrissy yesterday at the Orleans. We're watching the West Coast Conference Championship, and Parlay and I got into this side conversation where I just sort of started thinking of stuff as we're watching these games because they were blowouts. And one of them was, I think of my friend Tommy in D.C. He's my oldest. He's my longest friend. He's a casual college basketball fan. He represents the community of college basketball fans, in quotes, that shows up for March Madness. They don't know anything else. What is the most familiar team? This is a non-betting question. The most familiar team to the casual fan who just shows up, especially in this era of transfer portal?
The most familiar team in terms of like guys you can name on current rosters?
More, the most players you can name in a starting lineup. We had one vote earlier. We had one vote earlier for Houston. Mine was Alabama.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Houston or Bama?
That is a great freaking question. I'll give a weird one. I'll say UConn just because I think it's like, by the way, a 30-way tie between, you know, 30 teams of guys that can name one guy on each team.
Yes.
Just because Caravan was on the team last year and we've seen them in the Final Four in the championship. That's so if you're watching March Madness, you've seen Caravan win two titles in a row and maybe you can name one other guy. But other than that, I mean, we watch this stuff all day and night and we know trends of these teams and how they play and their style, but we can't, even us is watching nonstop. I mean,
I was just talking to Dave, like
two or three guys, it's really, really hard.
I was just talking to Dave Ross before the show. I said, we have millions of college basketball bets every day. Do we know rosters at the end of it? Probably not.
So I think the Houston tweet's a great point. When you first brought it up, I thought Bama, but only stylistically. It's not like I could name anybody more.
Oh, but do people remember Nelson from last year? They obviously remember Sears. I shouldn't say obviously, but I think they remember Sears, right? I just think anyway, the point of the question is, good God, like if you're just showing up, these teams, I just compared it to like growing up in the 80s where, you know, Ewing's playing Jordan and Olajuwon and all that. Obviously, that's an era gone by. It's just so different now.
That Dream Team documentary I recommended to you, and I think on a numbers game a couple weeks ago, it made you realize that it's the We Beat the Dream Team documentary. It's Mashburn, it's Penny Hardaway, it's Bobby Hardaway. It makes you realize, man, those guys were stars. Absolute like megastars before they ever stepped into the league.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to it. Any game plays today? Let's start with that.
I actually like the one that tips at 9:30 your time, Oak State and the under. I kind of like both of them, and I think that's sort of a correlated parlay because if Oak State covers the 7.5, it's probably going to cover because it's a close game, and the closer the game, the less likely for fouls. I just think Oak State has played better. They're good on defense. They are not good on offense. These teams actually just played on Saturday. Oklahoma State shot 78% from three, I think 7 of 9 from three. So you can throw that out. They are not a good offensive team. I just think this is a close, ugly, low scoring game. So I will take the points. I'm surprised this opened 6 and it's gone the other way. I thought even the 6 was maybe a touch too high. So maybe I'm just completely missing things with this Oak State team, but I think this is a close, kind of a grinded out game. So I like Oak State plus 7.5, and I do like the under as well. And first half under 65.5. Again, this is an early tip time. Nobody in the building, no energy in the building. We kind of make fun of Fez because he loves these tip time trends.
They
tend to work out more than they don't, I have to admit.
Yeah, that kid knows something. Anything else in terms of individual games today?
No.
Okay.
I'm not opposed, another Fez chat. I'm not opposed to the title game unders. I think those aren't bad. I mean, the Furman Wofford one was an outlier. The shot making in that game was just incredible. I mean, there was like I was on the under at halftime because they were just shooting the ball so well. And I jumped in live on the under again late. Some of the shot making for like an 8-10 minute stretch was insane in that game. And I actually had Furman plus 750 to win that tournament. So I'm a little bitter they let that get away. But for the most part, these title game unders are decent looks, but And the as much as we're excited about these games, the games themselves are not that great today, but it's just the volume of games is so exciting.
And tomorrow the volume gets ratcheted up even further. By the way, four championship games today: Horizon Northeast, West Coast Conference, obviously Gonzaga St. Mary's, and then our favorite, the Colonial with Delaware, the Blue Hens of Delaware, 12-19 before the tournament, and now trying to steal a bid as they play UNC Wilmington today. All right,
I didn't listen to the first hour of the show because I was doing my pod. I don't know if you mentioned this. These teams played 10 days ago. UNC Wilmington won by 30. It was the 11th loss in 12 games for Delaware, and now they rematched the title game.
Let's go.
Of course I mentioned that, Will. Yeah, Kelly. You think I would have gotten past me? Come
Kelly
on,
Kelly was
man.
All over. Jeez. Conference tournament plays, outrights. What you got?
We're running out of time here. I'll throw a bomb out there. First of all, I like Texas Tech plus 425. I think they match up well with Houston. I think that's a really good team. I think the list of teams that could win it all is very short. Like four, and then you start to get to like the Texas Tech, Iowa State. Texas Tech is a team that to me is on the fringe, but one at Houston without one of their best players who got ejected early, and almost one without a couple starters a couple Mondays ago. Rutgers at 200-1 to win the Big Ten. They're probably not going to win. They're 200-1 for a reason, 5 wins in 5 days, but they do have 2 lottery picks. They start with a USC team they just beat a week or so ago, and then the path after that is Purdue and Michigan. Michigan beat them twice by 4 points. One on a buzzer beater. Could they look up with their NBA talent and get to a semifinal, a quarterfinal? And you probably have to get to a semi to be able to hedge. But I thought Rutgers at 200-1, if you're just looking to throw pizza money on a real long shot, I thought that one was interesting.
Oh, let's go.
Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. Oh, by the way, as you're going out, 5-second answer. One of the other things, I was spitballing with Parlay. Is there a Steph Curry / Ja Morant mid-major-ish kind of player in this tournament coming up? In March Madness, referring to.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we didn't come up with anybody. Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. March Madness Megapod on Monday. Thank you, Will.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Don't forget, Juice Reel will help you eliminate all the fake handicappers who are pitching fake records. Juice Reel bringing transparency to the picks marketplace. All Juice Reel betting accounts are synced with a betting history directly from the sportsbook, so no hiding those bad records. Juice Reel ranks every bettor based on their actual betting record. Sharp bettors can even get paid when others follow their picks. Check it out for yourself. Download the Juice Reel app. Use promo code LETSGO. That's LET'S GO, we think. And receive $25 in free app currency that you can use to check out what the best handicappers on Juice Reel are betting. It's free in the App Store. Juice Reel, that's R-E-E-L. Download Juice Reel today.
My team looked into this, by the way.
Oh, your team?
If you punch in any combination of what we went over yesterday, it'll work.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. My team's Rob Moreno, that's it.
No, you had a team. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a guy who, well, let's put it this, he has many lives. He comes here and he gives us soccer plays. He moves the chains when you're betting accounts when he's talking about soccer. But we also mentioned he's the host of the Expected Value podcast. And he also I can't remember what his title is. He'll tell me right now. But he works at True Media Networks. He's like the director of content. I don't know what his title is. We'll find out now. Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, who spreads analytics, by the way, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line, who spreads analytics throughout sports. He's in Scottsdale, Arizona, Cactus League. No, that's great. No, it's Cactus. Yeah. That's right. Cactus League. He joins us now from his hotel room. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I was waiting for the Office Space line. What would you say it is you do here?
What do you say you do here? That's one of the great crafted that when they were going through each employee. What do you say you do here? Such a quotable movie. Office Space. So great. What do you say you do here?
Senior Director of Media and Business Operations.
Oh, there you go.
So oversee the media side and help out with everything else is basically it.
That's a very big title. How was I supposed to remember that?
It's too long. Yeah. I don't know.
Did you get to make your own title, Paul? That sounds like one you made.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We're small enough that it's kind of, here's your level and then throw some words after it and we'll call it good.
What is it that you say you do here? You're at the Grapefruit. Excuse me. I can't get it right. You're in the Cactus League. You're in Arizona. You're in Scottsdale, where the Giants, by the way, do their thing. Yep. Are there still teams? So for those who don't know, True Media Networks does what specifically?
We make analytics websites for teams and a bunch of sports, baseball being number one. So we take all their data. You know, they have data from internal stuff. They have the StatCast data, your traditional data, other third parties. We turn it into one easy-to-use website to generate reports, to do player development, so they can find whatever stats and graphics they're looking for. So we're really just, like, we're about saving time. And it also all connects to video. And so it makes their lives a whole lot easier. And, you know, a coach who may not know how to code or program but can use a website can find what he's looking for about, you know, what does this guy throw on 3-2 counts against lefties with somebody on base and things like that.
What team wouldn't want that?
Teams that want to do it internally and do it their own way. So there are, I think, 4 teams we don't have at the moment. We have 26 of the 30 on the MLB side.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us the 4 teams, what they rhyme with? Could you tell us? No, you can't tell us that? No. Okay.
I will say you could probably guess a couple of them based on teams wanting to do it their way.
The Tampa Bay Rays want to do it their way kind of thing?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. I'm just curious. I can tell. He does tell. They're one of the 4. I'm deciding they're one of the 4. I guess that's how they do things, Tampa Bay. Okay, well, congratulations on all that success. If it's 26 out of 30 in baseball, what is it in football?
Football, our business is a little different. We have a league-wide deal, so every team has access to the site.
Of those,
I would say about a third of them use it pretty regularly or heavily. A third of them may have like 1 or 2 people that use it, and a third of them haven't logged in or something like that.
Oh, man. It's like when I used to go to Sloan, MIT Sports Analytics right. Conference, and Matthew Berry, who famously is a fantasy guy but also a Skins fan, I would always say to him, like, are you upset, as like angry as I am that the Skins aren't here? He would think he'd be like, yeah, matter of fact, I am. Just no interest in those years. Okay, the Champions League. We are now on the second leg of the round of 16, correct?
That's right. That's right. First leg last week, second leg this week.
How'd the first leg go?
Went 1-2, hit a 105. So, you know, I think I got unlucky on one of the games where I think I had the handicap right and didn't get there, but that's okay.
Explain to the uninitiated, if you would, the quirks of second legs.
Yeah. Second legs are the weirdest thing to bet, I think, because it's aggregate score over the 2 legs. So we'll use, for example, Aston Villa and Bruges. Aston Villa won the first leg 3-1. So Aston Villa will advance on aggregate score unless they lose by more than 2 goals. So Aston Villa loses this one 1-0. They don't really care. I mean, they're at home, so there's a pride factor, but they'd still go through. So it makes for some wonky lines, which I will touch on a couple of those. They just look weird because they're not just a straight measure of who's better than whom. It also factors in what they need to advance. So you get some funny looking lines in this leg.
By the way, before we get to your picks, it sort of begs the question and the previous talk we were just having, does True Media Networks, have you guys ever thought of approaching Premier League or other?
Oh, we do soccer. Yeah, we have about 80 soccer clubs worldwide.
Oh my God.
Majority in Europe, but also some MLS, Mexico, South America.
You buried the headline, or I buried the headline. That's amazing. Oh, good for you. Okay. Today we have a couple plays. Tomorrow we have another one. Let's start with today's. What do you got?
Today. Okay. So Liverpool PSG. This is a good example where Liverpool won the first leg 1-0 in Paris. So a draw will put Liverpool through. That's all they need. So Liverpool, I like Liverpool to win at plus 125. I've seen some plus 130s out there this morning. That's obviously better. I just don't think Liverpool will play for the draw at home. And if this were a normal line, Liverpool would be, I don't know, minus 120, something like that, to win the game. But you get a really good price here because they don't have to win to advance. And obviously that is something. But Liverpool played very defensively in the first leg. They were actually outshot 27-2, but won the game 1-0. It was the definition of what we in soccer like to call a smash and grab job, where they just convert their 1 of their 2 chances and take the win and run home. But they were a little bit better than that. They gave up a ton of shots, not a ton of high quality shots. So I just can't see Liverpool trying to park the bus and play for a draw at home. That's just not what they do. They've scored 2 goals in, I think, every home game since September. So I like Liverpool to win at plus 125 here.
Okay. So again, based on Champions League round of 16 format, Liverpool does not need to win, but you are overriding that based on talent or just their nature.
Yep.
Plus 125, too good of a price to pass up on Liverpool win. All right.
And I'll reiterate, this is a 90-minute bet.
Yes.
So it really wouldn't come into play this time. But so I guess if they draw and Liverpool goes through, you don't win this bet. This is a 90-minute three-way money line bet.
90 minutes plus added time bet.
Right, right. Not extra time.
Not extra
just
time.
Just like overtime.
Added
just
time.
The injury time, the added time they put at the end.
We're never wrong going over soccer basics to new audiences. So
everybody has done that. I've made these mistakes where you think you win a bet and you lose, or vice versa, and then the cash does or doesn't show up in your account and you realize what happened.
The time they're talking about when they says 90 plus 5, and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
How many minutes exactly, Gil?
Where are we going to get that? Where are we going to get a 30 for 30 on added time in soccer? Where are we going to figure this out?
I don't think so. It goes around every once in a while. Would they talk about, why don't we just stop the clock every time the ball goes out of play? But then you'd really have, then the game would really only be like an hour of in-game time, and it's I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be interesting.
Kelly, would you like to pronounce the next matchup between Inter Milan and
Inter Milan and Fire Nudes are back at it. Feyenoord.
I don't think Feyenoord's going to do much here. We took both teams to score no in the first leg, and that got home. That was a pretty easy win. I'm doing it again here. Both teams to score no, minus 135. Can probably find a little bit better out there. Inter just dominated that first leg. Feyenoord wasn't bad in about two-thirds of the field, but they generated almost no real scoring chances. And Inter Milan, solid defense. They'll do the same thing here. Inter won that first leg 2-0. I expect this to be more low-scoring, 1-0 type of game for Inter. But either way, I don't think Feyenoord particularly is going to score, but you play both teams to score no. Even if Inter loses this one 1-0, they still go through, so that's another score line that you get here.
Okay, so today Liverpool to win plus 125 versus PSG, shop around, and then Inter Milan and Feyenoord, the Dutch, both teams to score no, minus 135. So you need a nil somewhere in this ball.
Need a nil, at least 1-0.
All right, tomorrow, what you got?
Tomorrow. All right. Club Brugge, double chance versus Aston Villa, plus 130 is the price I have. Had Brugge in the last week in the first leg, and they really outplayed Villa for about 70 minutes. Villa got one goal, just kind of got through traffic. Brugge hit the woodwork, and then Villa got, an own goal and then a late penalty to make it look worse than it was. So Brugge also went to Man City earlier in the season and played them very well on the road. So I like the Bruges double chance at plus 130. And again, the score line is coming into play here. Villa won 3-1. So if Villa's down 1-0 late in the game, they don't care. They're still going through. They're probably more likely not to go for a goal because they just want to play defensively. So Bruges win or draw, either one of which could easily see Villa through anyway.
That's what double chance means, boys and girls. Win or draw. Club Brugge to play tomorrow, plus 130 versus Aston Villa. Three-pack, as always, from Paul Carr. Paul, enjoy Scottsdale.
Thank you. It's lovely this time of year.
Oh, yes, it is. Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. And again, also the host of the Expected Value podcast. Check it out. Dr. Bob picks up where he left off yesterday. College basketball conference trends and to whom it applies next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN, free until Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and enjoy full VSiN Pro access instantly, including daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video with full access to the VSiN Watch app, full VSiN.com access, including expert analysis, trends, and pro betting systems. Don't miss out on this free VSiN Pro preview. Get the insights you need to bet the tournament smarter. No cost, no commitment. Sign up now at VSiN.com/champweek and enjoy free access through March 16th. That's VSIN.com/champweek. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate it. Brian M. for soccer added time. He says, draw a card out of a deck. The first diamond/heart is how many minutes they'll tell you they're going to play. The first spade/club is how many minutes they'll actually play. I guess
I don't want to use the word fun because it's not always fun, but talk about the added sweat. If you're home, Gil, and you just need this game to be over, and it's like when is this going to happen? It says 6. Why are we at 97 minutes plus right now? Like, I'm home. Just end this game.
He said face cards are worth 5 minutes alone. You get face card 5 minutes. Dell, Mind the Gap Radio. Don't forget to wish Dustin a happy 40th. Is it Dustin Sweetelson's 40th?
Wow, I did not know that.
Happy birthday, right, Dustin. If that's true. We don't know if it's true, but happy birthday.
It was just Patrick's birthday like a week ago, too. Yeah.
Well, you know what they say about people. Their clocks sync. No, is that something else? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's something else.
Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, Chief. I have to agree with your pick as Houston being the most identifiable college basketball team. That wasn't my pick. That was a listener's pick. Mine was Alabama. He says Reed Geddes, Michael Young, Drexler, and that Akeem kid. Iconic. Congrats on Washington winning day one of free agency. Hang that banner next to those one after Bruce Smith and Dion were picked up. Hey, that was a different organization. Sorry about that. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we got a tweet after the show. I want to say it was from Steve the Proxy, who said, you know, for a guy who loves college basketball so much, you'd think he'd play the shot clock better. Talk about Dr. Bob's appearance, but really it was our fault.
Yes.
And I'll take full responsibility. I know that Bob is thorough when he talks college hoops, and so I ran him into the wall. It's all my fault. So we give him the mulligan. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bob from Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. That's drbobsports.com. Predictive sports modeling pioneer, talking college hoops with us. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right. Glad to be back. You know, it's just my way of getting on your show back-to-back days.
That's
right.
No, I really appreciate you doing it. And I did the whole bad radio form where I asked him on air, hey, will you come back tomorrow? And he's like, sure.
That's a good point. We always blame it on us, Gil. But yeah, maybe Bob just didn't want, he knew how we were going to play that.
It's the same trick you use. Like we go to OSHA Thai food one day. It's like, see you here tomorrow? I guess. Yeah, okay.
Bob and I went to this Thai place in San Francisco maybe 300 times together.
That's great.
Back in the day.
Three times a week.
Yes.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Kind of tired sure. of it.
It was an interesting period in our lives. Let's put it that way. Okay, Bob, let us pick up where we left off yesterday. For those who didn't listen, Bob is a great handicapper in multiple sports, but this conference basketball season, these 2 weeks, are really big with him, and he's always done very, very well. And because he has, in addition to just his model that he does, he has something called, something that we refer to as trends. We're not really a trend show, but sometimes trends mean something. And Bob has a database, technical analysis, another way that he calls it, of things that are tried and true through the years. So, Bob, I give the floor to you where you want to go next with this.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, our plays are model-based, but I do layer on the situational or trends or what a technical analysis on top of it. It keeps me off some plays. But in the conference tournaments, there are so many good situations. I'm not going to give those away, but I'll give away some general ideas that I do tend to play some of these angles as long as the line is fair. And it's proven to be really good over the years. It's 56% in conference tournament play over 17 years and over 700 plays. It's a little bit better than my normal win percentage in college basketball. So last night, I think I gave out Idaho, which won straight up as a dog. That didn't apply in any angles, but there are some today that I like both in the model and apply to some angles. I talked about immediate revenge yesterday. I think I got to that one where teams played each other in the last game of the regular season, and they're both meeting in the first game of the conference tournament. And immediate revenge on neutral courts is 59% against the spread over many, many years in the conference tournaments. And it works best as long as the team with the immediate revenge is at least a 200 or better, or greater than 200 win percentage in the conference. So they can't be a really crappy team. And those are 101, 62, and 5 against the number over the years. And today there's Cincy and TCU. So there are two of them that apply. Cincy just lost to Oklahoma State, and they're -6.5 right now. I think they'll get that back. And I like that one as far as value and a good angle. And TCU is another one. They're -2.5 against Colorado. They just lost to Colorado. Colorado historically is a horrible team away from home, much worse away from home than they are at home. And TCU is immediate revenge, and the model liked them as well. So Cincy and TCU, a couple plays that I made today, not based on the immediate revenge angle, but it certainly doesn't hurt. We talked about single revenge favorites of two or more being 59% in over 400 games going back many years. There's a couple I want to talk about today. One is, in general, conference tournament teams that enter the conference tournament off a loss tend to perform relatively better than teams coming off a win. So if you got a team off a loss against a team off a win, just blind, and this is 2,000 games going back 30-something years, it's 53%. Now, that's not enough to play a game just because the team's off a loss and the team's off a win, but it is worth something. So maybe if you're a power ratings guy, maybe add half a point to a point if you got a team coming off a loss versus a team coming off a win. And the bigger the loss and the bigger the win, the margin, the better it gets. In fact, teams coming off a loss of 6 points or more are 58.5% against the number against teams coming off a win of 6 points or more. There's three of those, and that's 900 games going back to 1991. 58.5%. And that's Cincy again, TCU again, and UTEP, which I also play for other reasons. So those three are three that I like today based on not only the model, but also a little bit of support with the situation or trend. There's some other ones I wanted to talk about. I've talked about in the past. This one doesn't apply to any today, but one bid conferences, teams like Drake or UC San Diego, their tournament's coming up. Teams that have dominated their conference, but probably still need to win the conference tournament to get into the field. Those teams tend to be pretty good as long as they're laying 12 or less in their tournament. They tend to cover those spreads, especially in the final, which we saw with Drake. They just beat Bradley. UC San Diego's coming up. They're going to be one of those teams. So any team of the any number one seed with a conference win percentage of 900 or better, those teams are 57% against the spread, laying up to 12 points going back 30-something years. So those are sort of the one-bid conference. You know, it works best with the one-bid conferences, but it applies to even major conferences if you've got a favorite of 12 or less, that won, a number one seed that won 90% or more of their conference games. Those tend to be pretty good, especially if facing a team that was less than 75% in conference play. So as long as they're facing a mediocre to bad team, those teams tend to cover. Speaking of bad teams, I've given out this one before. Teams that are really, really bad, maybe give up a little bit at the end of the regular season, but now it's conference tournament time. Like, okay, we've got a chance. They feel like they've got a renewed enthusiasm. Teams that won less than 15% of their conference tournament games are 152 and 113 against the spread in the conference tournaments. Like I said, it's not something I play automatically. It's not strong enough to play on automatically. But if you've got a really crappy team that's been horrible in conference all year, less than 15% win percentage in conference, don't look to play against them. It would be my advice. Maybe look to play on them. So unless they're playing another really crappy team, it works best if the opponent is 400 or better in conference and maybe overlooking that a really bad opponent. In that case, those bad teams are 105 and 65 against the number if they're facing a team that was 400 or better in conference. So that's the situation to look for. Don't go against it. The other one I like is another similar to that one. Teams coming off two really bad games, two losses of more than 10 points in their most recent two games. If they lost both games by more than 10 points, they tend to rebound a little bit, maybe re-energized by the fact it's the conference tournament and they can start over again. Those teams are 106, 66, and 1 against the spread, as long as they're facing a team coming off a win. Like I said, it's one of those loss versus win angles, and that's just a subset of that. So those are some of the angles that I've got much, much better angles than that I use in the conference terms. These are ones like, don't go against any of these. I wouldn't necessarily bet on them just for the sake of the angle because they're not necessarily strong enough, but it's just kind of things to keep an eye on and maybe add to whatever else you're doing.
I love it. And again, you are on the two early Big 12 games. You are on Cincinnati and UTEP. TCU.
TCU.
Yeah, and then in the conference.
I'm also on UTEP, yes.
Yeah, and then Conference USA, you are on UTEP. But the Cincinnati and TCU applies to two of those that you just mentioned. Okay.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Okay. And then, of course, there's subsets, which Bob will keep closer to the vest. But that's awesome. We really appreciate that. And this is a great segment for people to sort of, again, you can use the VSiN app and re-listen to it by going into the numbers game past episode. So just do this date, March 11th, if you're, tomorrow or the next day, hour number two, and just chime into the Dr. Bob segment. You'll get all these again. You can listen to them at your own leisure.
UTEP on the move. Get your bets in now.
Bob, thank you. Appreciate it so much, man.
All right, guys. Have a good luck this week.
You too. Dr. Bob, the great Dr. Bob. That's great stuff every year. Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Coming back with more NFL.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live at Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. Every show here on the network. Every host, every guest, all their picks in every sport, we recap at the end of every show. GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Today, a couple tennis picks after, again, going 1-1 yesterday, losing on Kasatkina, winning on Dimitrov. Today, I'm on Mira Andreeva versus Elena Rybakina in a round of 16 match at Indian Wells. Big-time match on the ladies' side. A couple great ones today, Mohova Swiatek being the other one. But I'm on Mira Andreeva. You can get a slightly better number than I got, and you can also get a slightly better number than I got on my men's play. I'm on Yusuke Watanuki once again. Had him in the upset over Francis Tiafoe the other night. Got him over Talon Griekspoor today. So Andreeva on the ladies' side, Watanuki on the men's side as we try to simultaneously root our futures home. What you got?
Yeah, let's go. I got a lot. Yeah, the futures are looking good, Gil. I've been on 4 tennis futures, all of them still alive. Nothing specific for me today, but I will be. Actually, that's a lie. I made Michael Kim bets yesterday. The rest of the golf bets are coming later this morning. Michael Kim, I did get in on a top 10 and top 20 for the players already at plus 250 and 5-1. Sorry, Brendan, for not punching these in. I'm terrible at my job. And then the growing list of bets to make. So I do have that. I will probably be in on the Bucks later. I do agree with Drew, but I haven't made that bet yet. I'll probably join you guys on Mira Andreeva. Liverpool sounded good from Paul Carr today. I think I'm going to tail that one. And then Rutgers 200-1. Sure, let's go.
Rutgers 200-1.
Let's go, Will.
Yeah. Little Big Ten bet there. Again, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. You got two lottery picks
that's
on the
right.
team.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I just play the NCAA tournament anyways. I'm like, who's got the better NBA players that I need to watch?
Ace Bailey, who was when I was a kid, was a player on the Washington Capitals. I don't even know that.
There you go.
Drew Dinsick, he is also on Mira Andreeva. We did not know that about each other. Mira Andreeva, he got a better number than I did, minus 102 versus Rybakina. He's on Jesse Pegula, who we have to win the quarter, minus 3.5 games versus Alina Svitolina. Miss Gael Monfils, by the way, you may know her as. He's on Pegula, minus 3.5 games. He's also in the Andreeva-Rybakina match. He's also on over 21.5 games and over 2.5 sets. So he thinks it's a long match, and Andreeva wins in 3. And as Kelly mentioned, he's on the Bucks tonight, minus 2.5 versus the Indiana Pacers. Will Hill. Oh, are we Will Hill next? Yeah.
Yep.
Next, Will Hill. Rutgers 200-1 to win the Big Ten, we just mentioned. Texas Tech to win the Big 12 conference tournament at plus 425. And then a couple games, he's Oppo Bob's trend.
Bum, bum, bum.
On Oklahoma State, plus 7.5 versus Cincinnati. Or as Will kept referring to him, Oak State.
I caught that as well.
I was like,
I'm glad you're bringing this up right now. Is that like a thing?
It's either Oklahoma State or it's OK State. I don't think it's Oak State.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And not the same thing.
Then he's on the under in Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, under 138.5 for our G-Bank best bets of the day today. Dr. Bob, wrapping it up. He's on Cincinnati. Again, Oppo. Cincinnati, based on the trends he just mentioned, minus 6.5 versus Oklahoma State. TCU, minus 2.5 versus Colorado. Both of those apply to a couple of the trends he just mentioned. And then UTEP in the Conference USA. The first two are in the Big 12 today. Conference USA, UTEP, minus 2.5 versus Sam Houston State. G-Bank, best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. G-Bank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VEASAN.com/G-Bank. That's VEASAN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game, Chance Copperpot. As a lifelong diehard Seahawks fan, I was really happy about the trades, he says. And then they signed Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
He didn't like that.
I mean, that's the problem, right? It's the I'm okay if you feel like you need to rebuild and sell off the parts and rebuild, build up, but I'm not there on Darnold. We think he's going to be that good without the weapons he had around him in Minnesota. Like, I don't, sorry.
Well, I'm with you on the Seahawks. Like, in the end, I respect if you. If you feel like you got to tear it down, great.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm way wrong on Darnold, right? And this is the perfect move. I agree with whoever tweeted that.
I don't think there's anybody who thinks you're wrong. H3131. Gil, Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob couldn't feel his face because of all that Thai food, not because he was in love. This is, and by the way, we got two of these, Roger Jones and Brocco Wins. Just for clarifying timelines, the Thai food 3 times a week was before Dr. Bob felt his face melting. For those who don't know, this is a reference to an old story. Bob and I once, after Thai food, so it's right around the same time, we're walking down Union Street in San Francisco. This is when The Weeknd's smash, I Can't Feel Your Face, was a big hit. And Bob says to me, he goes, Gil, you know that song, I Can't Feel Your Face? Have you ever been so in love that you can't feel your face? And I said, Bob, I don't think that's what that song's about. He goes, no, pretty sure that's what it's about. he was dating his fiance at the time, soon to be his wife. And I said, I think it's about drug use, Bob. He goes, nah, I don't think so. I think it's about being in love. There you go. Anyway, that was great. At the same time.
Fantastic.
To answer y'all's question, it was right around the same time. And thank you for remembering. By the way,
best listeners of the game. You got multiple tweets about that story. I don't remember the last time you've told that story on air. Maybe like a year or two ago. Yeah.
It's been years. Have I mentioned my Achilles at any point in the last year? anyway, back to NFL free agency once again. So right now at this point, and again, I think Drew's points were interesting on this, right? Because Drew had a different spin on a couple things. One, when it came to the Washington Commodores, he made an interesting point, which is, I get that you now have the cap space and that you are making a run for it. I'm paraphrasing now. But why would you take on injury concerns like Debo? Which is fair. Totally understood. But Adam Peters, again, has a connection. Also talking about Kinlaw, right? Like, totally fair. But he's familiar, Adam Peters is, with these players also from having been in San Francisco. So maybe he feels a certain way about them. But it's a valid. It's absolutely a valid comment.
I don't care, though. Load up on weapons. It's an arms race in the NFC, right?
Race.
And there is not a single team that I, like, Lions and Eagles, sure. Of course, I expect them to be good next year. But they're not unstoppable. Like, this isn't the AFC, right, where you have a gauntlet of quarterbacks that you feel like you have to get through. This is my only pushback on Rodgers to Steelers, where, okay, yeah, that would be the most logical landing point if you were him. But you look up at who's in the AFC standings, you still, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're going to one of these teams because you still want to try to win, right? But you still got to get by Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Like, it's tough,
the right, you know, Chrissy, I was with at the tournament last night with Chrissy and Parlay. And Chrissy, I, you know, Steelers fan. I was like, are you excited if it's Rodgers? He's like, yeah, actually, I am. And, you know, I made my stupid comment, like, I can't even picture him in that uniform. He's like, I can. but, you know, what I mentioned was the sort of Joe Pita thing when he talks about baseball, which is, well, what you're replacing is Russell Wilson's production. And Russell Wilson's production was pretty damn good last year, right, when they decided to finally go with him. And then, by the way, Tomlin, remember when he decided to go with him, we were all like, what are you doing going away from the kid? So that's, you know, it's not necessarily an upgrade, to say the least. And clearly with Aaron Rodgers, there shouldn't be any expectation of that. By the way, the other big thing in sports, we went a whole show without mentioning, yesterday the biggest news in baseball, Garrett Cole is going to have Tommy John surgery. We probably should have mentioned that, but we didn't get into baseball today. And that is, you know, I don't know if it's seismic, but if you were high on the Yankees and you thought they were the team that was going to come out of the American League, or at least the rightful short shot, they ain't anymore after that. Their season win total drops to 89.5 from 91.5. That's a monster deal. And if you think about the American League as a whole now, and you were to say, okay, and someone asks you, okay, who's coming out of the American League? Obviously, this is a fool's errand to even try to guess it now at this point. As it is in most years, but, you know, because obviously the postseason is a randomized gauntlet in baseball. Who is it? Is it a team like the Rangers or the Red Sox now at this point from the American League? Like, it's that kind of random. What's already random is going to be that much more random.
All those Red Sox bets, though, that we heard over the past couple weeks, looking better and better.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like the Rangers, like Bochy somehow gets his team back. But again, it's the postseason makes it all like an impossible, a possible thing to judge. But Garrett Cole, the old elbow tingling or whatever, elbow pain, and then got one opinion for he needed Tommy John, and then that was corroborated. So that's what he's doing, out for the entire season.
Yeah, that was when I caught a quote that he said he was in a lot of pain after that outing, which that was a little surprising.
It's almost like human beings were not supposed to throw a baseball, this ball that we've created, at ridiculous speeds with torque in addition on your arms.
Almost.
For years and years and years. The Nolan Ryans of the world are the exceptions, right? He got all the way to age 44 before he ever had arm trouble. Now it feels like everybody's going to have to go through it at some point in their career. Just feels like a part of the deal at this point. So anyway, that was the biggest news, obviously, in baseball. I will look for those monthlies, and I will do my March/April analysis.
You got a lot of homework to do. DraftKings got like 19 markets up for a month.
Problem is, we got to mule those out. from here. Sorry. Meant to think that.
Drive down to Arizona.
Meant to think it, not say it out loud. Stormy is next. Stormy and Matt Brown on Money Moves. Next 2 hours right here at VSiN. Enjoy from the Sports Betting Network.